The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. I know every once in a while I tell stories about my mom. I'm reminded this Sunday of a time when, well, for us, writing was, at least for me anyway, writing was a difficulty when I was young. And my mom took a great deal of interest in the way we wrote our papers for school. And I remember one lesson which I learned at an early age. I probably was in fourth grade or something, and I had written this three-page paper, which for us was a long paper at that time. And she took a red pencil and she circled every time I used the word I. And she said, this paper is not about you. What is the subject that you're supposed to be talking about? I think it was Egypt at the time. And I used the word I so many times. She said, now I want you to go back and rewrite this paper without using the word I. Because it's not about you. I remember that. And even to this day, if someone sends me a resume and it uses the word I too much, I'm not likely to hire them. Because there is something about a focus that we have. In the gospel today, the Pharisee is using the word I an awful lot. He took up his position and said, I thank you, I am not like the rest of humanity. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. His prayer isn't to God or about God at all. It's about himself. And then we look at the tax collector. Oh, he says, and I'm so thankful I'm not like this tax collector who's standing right here. The tax collector, if you notice, the prayer is directed to God. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What is the stance or the position that you take when you pray? It's always a good question to ask. Because I think a lot of times there's an awful lot of I going on. And perhaps the reason for this is that we didn't pay attention to the first line of the first reading today. God is a God of justice. He knows no favorites. How much of that do we really believe? God knows no favorites. Does that mean among all of us here, God knows no favorites between us who come to Mass every Sunday? Maybe the ones who sing the holiest or the ones who would like people to think they're somehow more righteous or better or correct, maybe more educated? God knows no favorites. That is a very stark statement, isn't it? Does that even apply to Protestants or even so-called unbelievers? What about our Muslim brothers and sisters? Or our Jewish brothers and sisters? I was just at a conference Thursday and Friday with eight bishops from the United States, the Bishops' Committee on Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs. And one of the things we're talking about is how in our culture we need to remove this kind of unspoken bias against Jewish people. It's even in our scriptures, there is an embedded bias that needs to be addressed. God knows no favorites. So if we consider ourselves the elect, what does that even mean? God has chosen us, but isn't God's call universal? Doesn't he call all people? If not, then the door is open for us to do what the Pharisee is doing in the gospel today.
I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this lousy tax collector here. The Pharisee can pray a devout prayer to God and at the same time violate God's love for another person. If you think about it, this is shocking. But is it something that we often do? And the tax collector has a heart that's completely different from the way the Pharisee is judging him. So if all of us are called by God, then the elect must simply be the ones who recognize the call and respond to it. The elect are the ones who use the gift of God according to his plan and not their own. The theology of St. Paul's had a lot to say about this, especially in the weekday readings this past week. We're listening to his words to the people of to the Ephesians, the people of Ephesus. He says that it is true that the gifts that God gives to different people are different. But it doesn't mean they're better or worse. They're given to us because God knows what our fullness is. We do not know what our fullness is. And his plan is to fulfill us. And we often can't see it because we are focused too much on ourselves. We worry about our individual fulfillment. But the fulfillment that God has in store for us is much more than the full stature of each individual person. Each member, as a member of the body, exists only as a member of the body, not in and of itself. So individual fulfillment is not the goal at all. It is the full stature of the body, Christ himself, that is our fulfillment. And each of us plays a part in that fulfillment. We rupture this communion whenever our ego begins to start with comparisons and judgment, which results finally in division. And we've got division all over the place now in our world. The Pharisee is literally unable to see his brother, and so he is unable to truly see himself. Persons are defined by relationship. I always say this because when God made persons, persons have a personality, but they're only identified by other people. We don't identify ourselves. We've come to be who we are through our relationships as husbands or wives or pastors or brothers or sisters. Sons and daughters. We're defined by our relationships, and if we're unable to see the tax collector and his value in the eyes of God, like the Pharisee, then we will be left in our shallowness, our arrogance, and our judgment of others will fall back on us. We won't even be able to see ourselves anymore. If we consider ourselves not for ourselves, this is the beginning of humility. I am only a part of something much greater, this body of Christ, which is a gift I could never even imagine myself a part of. But by the goodness of God and his calling, I can respond and live fully.